about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the many ways your word is a weapon. It's a guide. It's a shield and so many other things. And in this world that's full of spiritual warfare at every turn, thank you for how that we can look to you as our shield, as our protector, as our refuge, and so, so much more. Help us to live in your word, Lord, to walk in it, to put it to use, to pray it, and to use it as our shield and bulwark each and every day. Thank you, Father, for the broadcast today, and thank you for that which our listeners will learn, that things will learn about your kingdom and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and he's going to say a word of prayer for us and for the broadcast today at this time as well.
Father, we're so thankful that we have your listening ear today. And Father, we pray for our listening family, God, that you would bless them, that you would help them to trust more and more in you and to rest more and more in you. Father, you promised us in your word that we can trust in you at all times. So we know that whatever's going on in our listeners' lives, whether it's concern about this virus around the world or whether it's concern about things going on in the nation or things happening in their own lives, that they can trust in you. They can rest in you and depend on you. We pray for the broadcast today that you would muse it in a mighty way, in a way that brings you much honor and in a way that that helps hurting people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Again, thanks for being a part of our listening family today. I want to continue to remind you, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And while I want to continue to encourage every single listener to email us to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer, as well as some of the other prayer tools that we provide. We're challenging you to start praying the Psalm 91, every single day over your life and over your family. Remember, in the midst of a world where it's dealing with spiritual warfare in so many regards, lots of people are very fearful about the coronavirus, and we live in a dangerous world where we continue to sadly see shootings and other things going on. No one can protect us like God can. And so putting a wonderful and a powerful weapon found in the Word of God like Psalm 91 to work in your life is a very wise thing to do. So again, that email is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send it to you. Keep in mind also, OneNews Now is a very fruitful place to receive your daily news. They cover the news of the day from a Christian perspective. And while you're at OneNews Now, you can also sign up for their daily email news briefs as well if you'd like to receive that as well. They do have a OneNews Now app that's available for free, of course, for your mobile device. Look for it on your phone's app store. We also continue to remind you about our upcoming AFA Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020. The dates are June 25th through the 27th here in Tupelo, Mississippi. The theme is In Defense of Truth. Don't miss this conference that can help strengthen your marriage and your family and help you and your family to become much more bold and well-equipped ambassadors standing for the truth in a culture that seems to be so hostile to the truth today. Some of our outstanding speakers include Dr. Michael Brown, Dr. Alex McFarland, our own Abraham Hamilton III, and other great speakers. Conference features include a youth apologetics track for youth ages 4 through 17 as well. For registration and more details, go to marriagefamilylife.net. Again, that's marriagefamilylife.net. We're blessed and honored to have once again with us on the broadcast Natalie Keene. She's the director of the National Outreach Programs with the ministry, the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Natalie, how are you today?
I am doing fine and blessed. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on today.
Well, thank you once again for being with us. And when you, or actually parts of your ministry team were with us before, you all were promoting the upcoming movie that you all had in theaters not long ago. Tell our listeners a little bit about that and the result of the movies being shown in theaters as well.
Yes, so thank you for asking about that. So The Blind Eyes Open, the Truth About Sex Trafficking documentary that was released in theaters on January 23rd, there was so much interest, and because it was only a one-night release, so many people couldn't attend it but are still interested, and also, or they did attend it and they saw the value of it and wanted more people to have the opportunity to see it as well. So Fathom Productions, who is the one, they're the company that released the films into the theaters, mm-hmm. has extended and allowing churches to host this in their church all the way through April 24th. And there's no charge to the church for this, but they can contact, they go to the website, blindeyesopen.com, and mm-hmm. they can click on that and then click on bring this to my church and get more information on how they can do that and educate their community as well. Like a lot of the churches we know that are doing it here locally in the Tampa area are opening it up to the community to bring them in and to see as well that their church can help be a part of the solution. So it is a faith-based documentary. I know that you've seen it yourself, mm-hmm. and it relates, it just brings out how we, you know, what the problem is, what's going on. It follows six survivors and their stories, as well as experts around their stories. Mm-hmm. But the focus was to show the redemption of Jesus Christ. That's and right. that he is still, can cover all and can heal all. And, you know, is where if we turn our hearts back to him, we can hopefully see an end to this problem. And that was what the and also to call to action and to give action steps to those that might be interested in doing it. So thank you again for asking, and I hope everyone will, you know, go to that website and check it out so that you can learn more after today's conversation as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as you mentioned, I did have the opportunity to see Blind Eyes Open. Powerful, powerful movie. I would encourage every single listener to take steps to get a chance to see it. It will impact you in some powerful ways. Again, the testimonies of individuals that were saved by the grace of God out of the sex trafficking industry and mm-hmm. have in turn begun to be God's vessels to help share the gospel and to bring people out of that hopeless, that seemingly hopeless situation into a life of hope as found in Jesus Christ. So again, a powerful movie, a movie that probably will bring you to tears a number of times as you watch it. Such a tragedy, tragedies we see going on right in our own culture and sometimes in our backyard. So again, if you haven't seen Blind Eyes Open, I would encourage you to get a chance to see it. Powerful movie. And Natalie, would you share with our listeners your website if people are just wanting more information about that movie?
It would be blindeyesopened.com.
Okay.
And that will take you directly to the movie. And it's Ships of Tarshish is the producers of the film itself. So, but go to blindeyesopened.com. Just start there.
Okay. And I guess eventually it will be available on video as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's definitely discussions on it, but because of the interest, they are continuing to have more to keep it streaming or live. Mm-hmm. I don't understand all of the production discussions, but I know that there's a lot of discussion to keep it moving through streaming, maybe before it goes to DVD. Yes,
okay.
And there is a study guide in process to go along with it to help the church be able to talk about it and break it down section by section and topic by topic to address all the different areas that might even that bring us to the point of even having sex trafficking in our own, you know, in our churches, in our families, in our community. So that's an important key too, as well as action steps will be provided in the study guide for the church to engage and surround either survivors or prevent this from ever happening.
Okay. Well, Natalie, tell our listeners now, as we circle back specifically, tell them the mission of the mission and work of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking.
So the title actually, even with Blind Eyes Open, is interesting, and it's a God story for sure. When the CEO of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, he and his wife have the ministry that did the documentary Blind Eyes Open. That's how everything started. And when he was traveling and he was gathering the interviews with the survivors and talking to the experts, they quickly realized, he and his wife, how there was such a problem here in the the U.S., and people weren't talking about it. In fact, you and I discussed it earlier. A lot of people believe this was something that's happening overseas, but not here, not in the United States. So they felt very compelled to start a ministry, and in the process of the interviews, Jeff met with our now president of the board, Kevin Malone. He was one of the interviewers in the documentary. And they started together, the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking, to address this issue, especially around children here in the U.S. So the mission of what God has called us to do, our vision was to end human trafficking, and that was just to abolish. There, and I'm going to be a little graphic here, but, you know, it is about the mass rape of men, women, and children for profit in our nation, which is heartbreaking. But the mission is, we feel that God has called us to work against human trafficking with truth and integrity, showing the love of Christ to all. But we intend to end that way through prevention, combating demand, providing safe refuge for the restoration of children survivors, and we're also addressing the problem nationally with on-the-ground services. But we also feel it's important to stop, be in a position of influence as well. So we do have someone that is on the ground for us in Washington, D.C., working, at the federal level, and then we're working at the state and local government officials, to end this with policies and legislation as well.
Okay. And again, your ministry is based out of Florida, is that correct?
Our headquarters are in Tampa, Florida. But we also have offices, of course, in strategic locations, like I mentioned, Washington, D.C., with the most recent edition. And then we have...
Natalie, I'm going to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Natalie Keene. She's the Director of National Outreach Programs with the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. We'll be right back.
Lord, I a nation have totally forsaken you. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Of Fred Hammond, If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Natalie Keene. She's the Director of National Outreach Programs with the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. And Natalie, before we get back specifically to what you were sharing, would you define for our listeners what exactly is human trafficking?
So you have many forms of trafficking, that human trafficking, that most people don't realize. The one that our institute or our ministry focuses on, of course, is sex trafficking. But a lot of people don't realize that there's also labor trafficking. And for sex trafficking, it is a form of modern day slavery. We hear a lot of people talk about slavery, but that's what it is, because it's when someone is induced by force, fraud, or coercion. Those three things have to happen in a situation, and that there's a commercial sex act that's traded for any value of for any sexual service, which could be pornography, sexting, any form of service is what is involved. Mm-hmm. And then labor trafficking is when a person is forced to provide labor, you know, a lot of times it's because they don't have any, we'll talk about that later, but it's when they're, and people don't realize that nail salons, a lot of your massage parlors are fronts for human trafficking, some of the agricultural farms, and, you know, even here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But force, fraud, or coercion have to be in that person's story in order to be found as being trafficked.
Right.
Now, with
right.
children, you do not have to prove force, fraud, or coercion. There just has to be a simple exchange of even shelter or food or clothing, like any form. Even the children sometimes will exchange sex activities for a phone or a purse. Mm-hmm. Or shoes or something that they want, and that is automatically, they are considered victims, and anyone who's engaging with them would be considered buying sex or trafficking, and it would become illegal. It is
okay.
illegal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we move forward, would you take a moment specifically, Natalie, to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord wants to share with them in it, because probably every single listener in some way or another, the Lord would have them to get involved maybe as a prayer warrior for a ministry like yours and others similar to it. There may be those persons that need to volunteer or maybe start a work like this in their local community as well. But lots of ways that the Holy Spirit can move upon His people to get involved. But would you pray for them to be have ears to hear as the Lord speaks to them through the broadcast today?
Yes. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you first for this opportunity. And we also thank you for your abundant grace and mercy. And Lord, right now, I thank you for each person that you have chosen to be on this broadcast today, Lord, to hear this message, that you would just stir in them Lord, a new fire, a new sense of purpose and understanding to be able to see through the darkness and become the light to those around us, Lord, that you would open the eyes of everyone listening to a new, and see through the lens of Christ, Lord, as they can just see activities going on, or ways to help prevent, or ways to help protect our children, ways to reach out and to lend a hand and support to the brokenhearted, Lord, or those that have been engaged in this and are survivors, Lord, or ways, as you said, to pray for our nation. And that, Lord, we just ask that you would just move on all of our hearts, Lord, and reveal to us any area where we may have been a part of this, but also, Lord, give us peace and strength and move on us to also be a part of the solution, Lord, and that we just seek you now, Lord. We just seek your heart. We seek your face, Lord. We just repent for any part we might have had to have this even be here in our nation, Lord. But we love you. We praise you. We give you all the trust, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So, Natalie, as we move forward, do you have maybe some illustrations or stories that help to better paint a better picture for our listeners to understand the problem and what it looks like in our culture?
Yes. Yeah, so just so everyone knows that's listening to this, that the United States, sadly, unfortunately, is the largest consumer of human trafficking in the world. That means not just with victims, but it also means with items that we purchase or buy that might have been bought from another country where there was trafficking going on to purchase, to create this product, and we're purchasing it. So there's a lot of education going on about that right now, and so we have that to look to, and there's resources on our website for mm-hmm. people to go to get more information on that.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, some of the stories that we have that I've learned over my course of being involved in this mission field is the children. And a lot of people, I think the first time I was shocked was to see that children are sold by their parents, even in this, and are part of the problem and the traffickers. We have children in our safe home. We do have a safe home for boys, for those of you that don't know, because a lot of people don't realize that 36% of the children that are sex trafficked in our nation are boys. And we have the only home that we know of is right now. We know of other homes that are doing really great things on stabilizing and hopefully restoring these boys back to a normal lifestyle. However, our home focuses just on children who have been commercially and sexually exploited. Children, period, are recruited through gaming. We talked about that earlier. We had a boy in our home that was recruited through gaming, and he was kind of fighting a little bit with his mom and met some guys that were really nice to him over, I don't understand how that all works with the gaming, but he went and he actually stayed with them. And during his course there, he was being trafficked, but he didn't even recognize it until another boy was brought into the home. And when he saw what was happening or was being done to that other boy, he realized there was something very wrong with this. And he spoke up and spoke out, and we had that young man in our home, and we watched him transform while he was in our home, which is beautiful. And he is back with his mom, but the perpetrators were all arrested and taken to trial because that young man had the courage to share his story, and the evidence was enough to arrest these guys. So that was one of our favorite stories. We had a 10-year-old, which is really sad. He was trafficked by his father, believe it or not. And his mom had also been trafficked by the father. This young boy, when we got him, did not even know his birthday right here in the United States. 10 years old, and he had never been to school. And that was just so heartbreaking for us. And when our director of our safe home picked this little boy up, the first thing this little boy asked is, "Are you going to be nice to me?" So we can only imagine what this little boy had been through his trafficking. praise God, his father is behind, is in jail, so he can't harm anybody right now. Mm-hmm. And the mother has reached a point of restoration, and the young man, we had this little boy for a good year, so he was stabilized in a really good place and had actually started school, and we were able to, he was reunited with his mom, so we are grateful for that, yes. And then we've had other boys who have been recruited or runaways. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how many runaways become targets mm-hmm. and get recruited quickly by traffickers looking to profit off of them. Mm-hmm. And boys are awful. I'm, you know, not just speaking for boys, are the most underserved population mm-hmm. because they are mostly on the streets or runaways. Foster children, too. A lot of people don't realize this. Those of you that are foster parents out there, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You are doing a great service and prevention for the problem of human trafficking, because we know that studies have shown that 60 to 70% of these children who are sex trafficked in the United States are coming out of social services. It does not mean that foster parents are doing it. It just means the vulnerability rate is so incredibly high and they are at such risk mm-hmm. that they are trafficked and easily targeted. So that is a concern. So mm-hmm. we know, again, it's vulnerabilities. It really does come down to the vulnerabilities mm-hmm. of people at risk now, to become easy targets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Natalie, you'd also mentioned, too, that sadly, you find often young girls help to recruit other young girls as well, you said, right?
Yes, that was a study I just recently read where 53% of girls, so those are minors, they're under 18, are recruited through and by other girls who are also being sexually exploited. So that is a concern and alarming. In fact, I've talked to some caseworkers that work in social work, and they said one of the greatest challenges they're having right now is the recruiting that is going on within the home, you know, the homes. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I mean the group homes, the foster homes and stuff. And they're mm-hmm. done by other girls.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
a lot of people don't realize, too, that traffickers can also be women, mm-hmm. not just men. So that is something, too, that we need to look for and be aware of.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think something that the listeners should keep in mind, too, is that sadly, even when you hear of young girls who are recruiting other young girls, sometimes that, too, may be coercion on the part of people
Absolutely.
Over those girls. And so it's not like they're enjoying necessarily, obviously, what they're doing at all. But sadly, the industry can be sophisticated in some regards insofar as the way they do what they do. And so you see wickedness on top of wickedness that's perpetuating the sad reality. So, how would you ask believers to pray specifically for the work of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking? What would be two or three specific things you'd ask listeners to pray for you and the ministry about?
I would have to say for our boys' home, for sure, and the team and the staff that work with the children. Mm-hmm. And for those who are working in the community to be able to identify these children, that is really an obstacle and a barrier that we're finding is people don't understand that it could be, you know, boys or children mm-hmm. because they don't see, the children don't identify, they don't self-identify as saying, hey, look at me, I'm trafficking myself. Mm-hmm. So that is a real problem and an issue is to identify these children. And so we definitely want to pray for that. And again, like I said, our staff, it's critical what they're doing to be able to help stabilize these boys and show them the love of Christ, mm-hmm. something they've never had. We have a beautiful stories of, we have a boy there right now who's been from foster home to foster home to foster home. And just recently he, through other encounters and events and people he's met, he says, I just want to stay here forever because mm-hmm. he feels safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as we get new children in, it just, you know, we have a time of adjustment so that does go smooth. So that's one area for sure that's really important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then to bring people on, just like today, having the opportunity to let people know that they could consider being a part of the solution prevention. Mm-hmm. Taking an awareness training, learning more about, you know, we call it human trafficking 101, just understanding what's going on in the U.S., what are indicators and what things I can do. So pray for more opportunities and more people to step up that want to train others and learn about what the issue is. They can go onto our website and they can go on to a and take the trainings right online. We have an online training portal that's there for free for people to use. Mm-hmm. So I just pray that more people will do that, because the more people that do that, the more we'll be able to combat this problem for sure. And always, you know, we appreciate prayers just for the efforts that we have going on all over the U.S., including, mm-hmm. you know, even funding to be able to provide these programs and to bring on more people to be able to do more in their communities and stuff. So that's mm-hmm. very important as well.
Okay.
And for the survivors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Share your website one more time.
It's the initials of our long name, USIAHT.org.
Okay. One more time.
USIAHT.org.
All righty. Thank you then, Natalie. Our phone guest today is Natalie Keene. She's the Director of National Outreach Programs with the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. We'll be right back. Phillips, Craig, and Dean, wonderful, merciful Savior. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Natalie Keene. She's the Director of National Outreach Programs with the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. And Natalie, as we begin this segment once again, tell our listeners again what your website, if they're wanting more information and just wanting to learn more about what you do.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, so the website is the name of our organization is U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. So it's the initials of that, if anybody goes back and goes, what did she say? But it's USIAHT.org.
Okay.
And we have lots of information packed in there, including the training portal that I mentioned to you earlier. So I encourage everyone to go to our website, and you definitely will find lots more information.
Right. Okay. You know, you mentioned about awareness training and how that you will have a place mm-hmm. on the website where people can get awareness training as well. I recall hearing, actually, I think I've heard of more than one, but one story in particular of a stewardess who, after she had, I guess, gotten some training about what to look for, was able to recognize the situation and help rescue a young girl out of a human trafficking circumstance. again, she knew what to look for. And again, it's an area where we would challenge every single listener, really seek to become much better, much more educated about the reality of what human trafficking, sex trafficking involves, because as your eyes are open, you might be surprised how often you'll see these challenges going on right around us, where we might be able to help rescue persons in our own communities as well.
Absolutely. That has happened many times. I can remember one of the first stories I heard about training was actually through a judge, believe it or not. And he was in his courtroom, and he had cases with children. And once he contacted us after he had an awareness training, and he said, "Oh my goodness, I recognized this child was really a victim because I understood the indicators." But he said the sad part to him was that unfortunately the trafficker was there, and the child walked back out to him. But at least he knew to take action and realize that there was an issue. So everyone of us should take at least the responsibility to understand what those indicators are and make a difference. We've heard stories of airlines, you know, recognizing after a training and stopping a trafficker and a child flying to other states and stuff. So it's been, and Uber drivers. I mean, lots of great stories after people have been trained. So we do provide a quick half an hour. I shouldn't say quick because a lot of ours are very long, but it is only a half an hour training online on our online training portal for free. And we want everybody just to start there. And then they'll see that it will begin to open their eyes up to have a better understanding of definitely the vulnerabilities and who's at risk in our own city, in our own community, in our own church.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Natalie, I think of this, too, that sometimes a listener may think to themselves, well, that's a good ministry. It's something I'm really wanting to encourage, but that's far from me. I don't know of any situations close to that in my community, and I just don't see how it connects to my life. Well, real briefly, I want to share a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 25 that powerfully draws out the fact that God calls every believer to be involved in the ministry of loving people and having compassion for those in circumstances of need. This is Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did not do it. Inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." My challenge to every single listener is to remember that God calls all of us to be a people that walk in love, compassion, and mercy. And this is a huge area of need in our country and in our culture. And we are not to turn a blind eye, but we're to really seek to say, "Lord, show me and help me to get involved in whatever way you want me to get involved." So again, I would challenge every believer, every listener, pray and ask God that question.
We definitely know it's a humanitarian crisis going on in our nation. And God, like you mentioned, and that was so beautiful, that the it is about human dignity as well. And so we know that's what Christ is for. He's for for justice.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to see that for all of our women, children, and men that are caught up in this right now.
Okay.
So,
well,
yeah.
Is anything further in this final segment that you wanted to share about just an initiative? I think you referred to as an abolitionist.
Okay. We have our trafficking free zone, which is part of on our website, which is a community-based initiative to reduce the number of buyers, because you have three people engaged in human trafficking. You have the victim, you have the trafficker, and you have the buyer. We do not engage with the trafficker, neither should anyone who is listening do that as well. But the buyers aren't even aware that they're buying. So that is the front end of the problem. That is the demand side of the problem. We wouldn't have to have victims being a supply if we didn't have the demand. So we have to address the demand, and that's where the church can come in and help, and that's where each and every one of us can come in and help and bring that awareness out. So our trafficking free zone is set up like that to end demand, and it provides demand-ending activities in all sectors of our society. And I wanted to see it start right in the church. We mm-hmm. have some true initiatives happening in the Tampa Bay area that we're beginning to drill deeper and be able to engage the entire church on these demand-ending activities, starting with our youth and our parents all the way up, and also providing healing for those that maybe have been buyers. I'm working with a group of men right now that are trying to create and work with a program to help those who have been caught up in buying and mm-hmm. not realizing that they were contributing to human trafficking as well, and understanding the truth behind that. So our abolitionist project is a part of that, where anyone can go onto our website, complete the abolitionist project application, and then we will contact you and begin to give you activities that can be done right where you are in your sphere of influence right away, including and starting with prayer. So again, if you have any questions and want to know more about that, please feel free to contact me. My email is nkehn@usiaht.org. Feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be glad to connect you to the right source for more answers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And share with our listeners also, like you've touched on this, that sadly, so many people are addicted to or connected to pornography in their lives, and help our listeners understand how that, though some people may think it's an innocent pastime, in reality, it helps to further the sad work of human trafficking. It helps to promote the work of human trafficking.
Yeah, we absolutely believe that pornography is probably the leading driving force to this issue. We know that addictions are real, and we know that pornography addiction is incredibly real and hard. And because of that, there's the demand issue. And so we're encouraging a rising up of men to be able to start to address this with other men. And I love that we're starting to see that happen and that's being recognized. But you have to provide, because again, when you're working with addiction, pornography can lead into addiction. I know that you know more about that, Pastor Joseph, than I would for, and I have heard statistics as high as 50% of even pastors have been engaged with this problem. So mm-hmm. it is a problem, and it has to be talked about and addressed starting mm-hmm. within our churches, because it is a condition of the heart. And right. again, if we don't have demand, we wouldn't have human trafficking.
That's right.
We need to do the front end of the problem. It has to be addressed first.
Mm-hmm.
So that we encourage, again, more men to speak up, step up, and for churches to offer programs. We already do divorce care. We already have all these other programs in place all the time. We need to really look and address this truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And also, you all work also with survivors, people who survive and are able to rescue out of human trafficking as well, correct?
Yes, we collaborate and partner with a lot of organizations. We are not residential for adults at this time, but I do get a lot of contacts and then try to get them the correct resources, which there are not enough of, by the way. Mm-hmm. There are not enough beds for survivors. And one of my biggest struggles, which I shared with you earlier, or one of the biggest struggles for women who want to get out of this, well, first of all, they're threatened. A lot of people can't get out of it because they're threatened or blackmailed I have to stay. And mm-hmm. those are real friends. And I have lots of stories behind that to share how people literally have to escape to get out. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, there are women who are in the sex industry. There's definitely coercion and such going on, but maybe they're not really run by a strong trafficker. And they can't get out because they can't find work. Mm-hmm. And that always breaks my heart. So we don't have an answer for that yet, but there are some pilot programs going on around our country that are doing phenomenal work. I love it that most of them are all started by Christians, and I have a heart for this and want to see people have second chances. So wow. We're beginning to explore that a little stronger to see what can be done and hopefully replicate that and work with other organizations that maybe have got some success in that area as well, so that these women can get out of this industry mm-hmm. and start over again.
Right. Yeah. You know, the movie that you all produced, Blind Eyes Open, is so powerful in that, like, again, that the, I believe it's six different individuals that you highlight, and they share their stories, but all of them are now involved in ministries that help combat the tragedy of human trafficking now, correct?
Yes. So you might have some in your neighborhood or in your city and town. I would encourage you to Google human trafficking and see who is doing something and hopefully be able to get engaged. Even around Christmas, there's all kinds of things that you can do. You can provide Christmas gifts to strip club outreach ministries in a lot of cities now, including ours. Mm-hmm. And they give gifts out to these women with cards in there of different resources that hopefully these women will reach back out and say, hey, I need help. I want to do, I need help here. So for us, even in our safe home, we have people who surround our boys and give them Christmas or Easter or other birthday celebrations and sponsor mm-hmm. victims. So, yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for being with us once again and sharing so much about both the ministry of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking and just the reality of the tragedy of human trafficking as well. Thank you, and keep up the great work, okay?
Well, thank you, Pastor, and everyone that's listening. God bless.
All right, and thank you. Every single listener, I want to challenge you, please pray for the ministry of the U.S. Institute Against Human Trafficking. Get educated, learn more about it, and ask God how He wants you to get involved. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.